had a few things left out there, so if you're looking for it, we may or may not have it. Amen. And we are thankful for the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. It is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Did you know that? It is the wooing, it is the drawing of God that leads us to repentance. And to repent simply means to change your mind or to change your direction, to change your thinking, to change, you know, to change what you're doing. How many know to change your life, you have to think different? You have to speak different. You have to make choices differently. Hallelujah. But the goodness of God leads men to repentance. So if you don't serve a good, good Father, let me introduce you to Him today. Because He's good, He's always good, and He's only good. Amen. And He is a faithful God. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is our Savior, our King, our Lord of Lords. He is our healer. Amen. He is our everything. How many can say amen this morning that He is our everything? Hallelujah. And so I often say I don't know how to do life without Him, nor would I want to try. Amen. I don't want to do life without Him because it becomes such a response that you wake up in the morning and, Lord, I love you, Lord. You know, those songs that we sing, the worship songs that we sing, I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. Even when it didn't look like it, He still had you. Amen? And His goodness is running after you. How many know the favor of the Lord pursues you? That the goodness of God is your portion today. Amen? And that we can live in the goodness and in the favor of God in our life. Amen? And so I'm very thankful for that today. I'm thankful for His presence. I'm thankful for the goodness of God. Amen. Thank you, Crystal, for doing worship for us today. Like I say, we have quite a few out today, sick. Welcome back to school, everyone. Leveling up, right? Fall, allergies, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that we know that He is our healer. Amen. Did you wish? Sure. Amen. Absolutely. Amen. Go ahead and feel it, sister. Amen. He has no authority in your house. Amen. And that we declare and stand with her this morning that the goodness of God and the favor of God is what is running after her, that the enemy has no power over her, and that those children are destined and purchased and purposed for the kingdom and for such a time as this. And we declare that those bowels are being healed and that the strength of God, amen, is at operation in that house in Jesus' name. Amen. We receive nothing but the goodness and the favor of God. Amen. 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 God's restoring her body as well. Mind, soul, body, and spirit. Amen. How many know what's working on the inside will manifest on the outside? Do you believe that? If you are living in chaos, it'll wreak chaos in your body. But if you are living in the grace and favor and the peace of God, it will bring a peace and favor in your body. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you need to receive that same word this morning, you just say, Lord, I receive it in Jesus' name. My body belongs to the Lord. My mind belongs to the Lord. The enemy has no place, has no power, has no authority, and I don't even give him my address. Come on, somebody. I choose to turn around, and when I look behind me, it's the favor of the Lord pursuing me, not the enemy, but the favor of God and the goodness of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We heard some testimonies this morning of the favor and the goodness of God. That's what I want to hear. How many know the confession of our mouth? As we begin to speak and declare by the confession of our mouth. He says, speak into yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen? And so, how many ever in here had to speak to yourself? Anybody in here ever had to give yourself a good talking to? Come on, somebody. Sometimes I give myself a good talking to me. Come on, Lisa, you know better than that. Amen? And so speaking to ourselves, not just a talking to, but speaking psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What the word says is true of you. Hallelujah. Because what we put in, he said, it's not what you put into the body that defiles a man. I mean, no, for years we've preached an external Jesus. He said, it's not what you put into the body that defiles, it's what comes out of the heart that defiles a man. But when you begin to let God purify your heart, and the peace of God begins to rule your heart. How many know whatever's in your heart's what's coming out? How many are ready for the peace of God to rule your heart and to rule your homes and to rule your house and to rule your marriage and to rule your community? Come on, somebody. The peace of God is our portion. And it is our favor. It is our right as children of God and kings and priests unto God. Amen. Hallelujah. So we started talking last week about some next level things. And the Lord spoke to me and he gave me those two words, next level. He said, that's what I want you to do next. I was like, okay, where does that mean? And where does that go? And so as I began to pray and just seek the Lord for God, what do you mean by next level? How many know there's so many ways that we can look to the next level in our life? How many are ready for God to take you to the next level in your experience with him? In your life, Lord, I want you to take me to the next level of your glory. I want you to take me to the next knowledge, the next understanding, the next step of what you want to do in my life. How many of you in here feel like you have a calling and an anointing on your life for God to do and do something in your life and take you to the next level? Let me ask that question again. How many of you in here feel like you have a calling on your life and a purpose that God wants to take you in the next level to it? Can I see your hands? Come on, somebody. I'm not talking about being called to stand behind a pulpit. You might be called to stand behind a desk. You might be called to stand behind a counter. You might be called to stand behind a computer. You might be called to stand behind a stethoscope. But whatever it is, God will show you favor and take you to the next level of that in your life as you look to him for the strength to do what he's called you to do. Hallelujah. How many know next level sometimes can be scary? Amen. Next level sometimes can be scary because we don't always know where that's at or what that means. But I got a plaque in my room, my office back here says, if your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough. Come on, somebody. Anybody got any scary dreams in here today? Two of you. Thank you, Jesus, for some dreamers in the house. Come on, you got to have some scary dreams. You got to have some boat sinking faith. Then when he said, Lord, we have fished all night and we've caught no fish. And he said, cast out into the deep and let down your net and get ready for a multitude of blessing. They did it by faith, not knowing that it would work, because they said, we've done everything we know to do to make this business run. How many know they were fishermen in business? God wants to bless some of you all in business. And he said, but we've done everything we know to do to make it happen. He said, can you trust me one more time? Go out into the deep, let down your net, but get ready. See, it's not just enough to be obedient, but you got to prepare your heart for it. You got to get ready. And how many know when God spoke to them, he said, by faith, they went out into the deep and did one more time everything that they had done all night long. Can I tell some of you, it's been a long, long night, but can you trust me one more time? Can you trust me again to go out into a deep place of the next level of where God wants to take you and one more time let down that net? And when they did, He said there was such a multitude of bounty of fish that they could not hardly bring it in. And Peter said, get away from me, Lord, because I'm not holy enough for this. That's how the Message Bible says it. Abundance. Amen. Abundance. God spoke the word to abundance. For God, I declare and stand with her in agreement of faith, believing for the abundance of God in her life. In Jesus' name. Amen. When he speaks it, he don't change his mind. But how many know it took some boat sinking faith to go out one more time and say, I'm going to trust you one more time, God. I'm going to give it another shot. And when they did, with some boat sinking faith, God filled the net of bounty. And then he grinned and said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. How many know there is a next level that's even greater than what we experience in our natural faith and dreams? How many know we all got dreams and aspirations? I hope you do. I want to die with dreams in my heart. I want to die with visions in my heart. And what I mean by that is, by the time I accomplish one more dream, I want another one. And by the time I see the next vision, I want another one. I don't want to die empty. I want to die with one more vision. And it might not be something that I accomplished, but it might be something that the next generation can pick up and say, I'll take it from here, and we'll dream again, and we'll have visions again, and we'll see God do the miraculous in our lives, in our churches, in our communities. But I believe God wants to challenge us to take us to the next level in our ministry, in our workplaces, in our relationships, our marriages, our kids. Yeah. Amen. Our finances. Can you trust me one more time? Can you trust me? Can you have that one more response that says, I've been doing everything I know to do, but one more time I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to trust the God of the multitude. I'm going to trust the God of the miraculous to do what he said he would do. Amen. Hallelujah. Absolutely. Amen.
Okay. It's not a Monty story or an Andy story. Mustn't be much of a fishing story then. No, there's these two guys standing along the bank and they're fishing, and the one guy's watching the other guy, and the other guy's just really pulling fish, and he's pulling them in left and right, and he's pulling in small fish and big fish. He's keeping all the small fish and pitching all the big fish back. And after a while, the guy says, I've got to find out what's going on here. So he walks over to the guy that's throwing all the big fish back and keeping the small fish, just little fish, right? And he said, I just got to ask you, why are you throwing all the big ones back and keeping the small ones? He said, well, my frying pan's only big enough to hold these small ones. God wants us to get a bigger frying pan and start to dream bigger and start to have a bigger vision for what we can get.
Get a bigger frying pan, somebody. Who's going to get a bigger frying pan? Hallelujah. No bucket? No problem. That's out of the Message Bible, by the way. I preached that last Sunday, and that's the scripture. If you didn't get to hear that, it was the first sermon in the series of Next Level. But when Jesus comes to talk to the woman at the well, if you read it out of the Message Bible, he asked her for a drink, and she said, and they talk, and then he said, if you'd ask me for a drink, I would give you a drink of water. That would be like a well springing up inside of you. Just if you just ask him, and she said, sir, you don't even have a bucket. And I don't know about you, but that makes me giggle. You got to listen.
Whatever stereotypes and things, they're still God. So sometimes if you just listen, I had the same thing on Monday. I had bad results and I was done. I told the doctor I was done. She said, we got away. I'm tired of away. And I had to be on Thursday. God said, I'm still God. I was sitting there quiet in my office and he said, I'm still God. And I come, and then it was on the third day and I was like, oh, that's great. And then I was like, okay, on the third day, so here we go. But the point is, I got in my head, and I got so aggravated, because here we go, there's another way. And then Aaron said, if this doesn't work, we'll find another way. And I remembered that I said, okay, God, it's your will, and I want it to be in your timing. So then I come home after the third day and check my little numbers. We thought we broke the machine because I've never in all my life seen a number like that, you know. So my point is, it's still God, and you have to listen. I was in my little tantrum. I was mad. I was already, you know, because that's what I do, like everybody else. But people need to know he's still God, and it's, you know, it's not going to be like this, and it's not always easy. I mean, Jesus had to walk just like we walked. So you have to, it's hard for me sometimes to be quiet and listen. Some people will attest to that, but you have to be quiet and listen. So he's still God. Doesn't matter what you're facing, he needs to hear that. Tests aren't the end, you know, doctors, results, all those things. He's still God. So.
Amen. Yes, he is. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Sure.
Jason, the best thing that was told to me ever was healing is a process. Because I remember going and being mad for going to the phlebotomy. I was there getting blood, and I would just started crying because I look over, and there's a man that is getting ready to pass out, is there for cancer treatments. And, of course, the devil got in my head, and I was like, I'm not supposed to be here. It's not fair to me. It's not fair to him. And because when you go in that setting, it's just like, it's sad when you see the other people. But Pastor Donna Barber said to me, right where Pastor Lisa's standing, healing is a process. And then I just took a deep breath and it was okay. You got it.
Somebody else talked.
You know, Jason, it's funny that you say that because when V and I were sitting, when I went back to talk to the surgeon about when my surgery was going to be, we go in and we sit in the chair with the surgery scheduler, and she said, okay, it's going to be November the 4th. I looked at V, just kind of hung my head, and I was like, Lord, I missed the dance of dancing for Easter because I had this. Now I'm going to miss Rocky Top. I took a deep breath and I looked at V. I was like, what should I do? What should I do? And I just took a deep breath and I put my big girl pants on and I said, okay, November the 4th it is. So I go home that night and I try not to stew on it. But you know what? God spoke to me later that night and said, Kim, it's given you more time to heal. Because you need it. And so, you know, he's got it, and he picked November the 4th for a reason, and it's to give me more time to heal and to make sure things are healing properly and make sure things are where they're supposed to be. And my mom always used to say to me, be still. And I never understood it until after she was gone. And it hit me one day. You just have to be still, and it's hard. It's hard to be still in those moments because you're like, okay, God, I need you to talk to me right now. That's not how he works. I found that out. And you just have to be still. And it could take a day. It could take 3 days. It could take weeks, months. But just be still.
Amen.
Yeah, it's in by the stripes he's healed. You know? So you just gotta take your time and let it go.
Amen.
Let him work.
Let him work. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I've seen God do his best work in those situations. Amen. Be still and know. And that's the key to that. Amen. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. How many know? It's hard to be still. I mean, it's hard sometimes. I said back a couple weeks ago, you know, we need to learn the art of linger. Where we just linger in his presence. I mean, we get nervous when it gets quiet. And not knowing for sure where to go from here. I mean, sometimes it's all right just to linger. Just to wait. Practice pause. Amen. To tarry, to wait in his presence, because they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary, and they shall walk and not faint. How many know that's an old covenant? Isaiah prophesied and said, but those who wait upon the Lord. Amen. Because in the waiting, there is a process of something that God is doing. We all want miraculous. We all want instant. We want microwave food. We want instant coffee. We want to pull through the drive-thru and it's ready. We don't want to sit and wait. We've become so accustomed to everything being right at our disposal. Now, you know, when Jesus met up with the man who was born blind, the scripture says that he spit in the mud and he put it on his eyes. But then there was one, he said to him, he prayed over him, and he said, what do you see? And he said, I see men as trees, and he prayed over him again. I mean, no, there are levels to God opening, your vision being enlarged. Hallelujah. He said, now what do you see? And he said, you know, it was a process of what God was doing. And at one point, God says to the man at the pool of Siloam, go wash. And said, and as he went, and his obedience, that God began to open the eyes of him who was born blind. See, I get a kick out of that too. When you really stop and think about it, Jesus says to the man who's born blind, everybody say born blind, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I don't know what that guy did when he said that, but did he say, is that north, south, east, or west? Where is that pool?
But he was right where he was supposed to be, because had he not been there where God put him, then he wouldn't have heard it. So it's not always easy. He's got to find the road and get to play there, but right where he's supposed to be. My favorite thing, if you didn't think about this, is Genesis, you know, he's still writing. So it's just right where you're supposed to be. What if we can all talk about how we got here, where we're at, who we're sitting with, what we've done, who, what, where, and why. And it's easy.
Amen. Amen. I believe in the miracle. I believe in the miracle. Absolutely. Amen. You know, when he told him, he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. My thought to that is somebody had to connect with that man to get him to that place. How did he know how to get there? Where is the pool of Siloam? And how do I get there? I mean, there are people that are walking in blindness right now every day that need you to grab a hold of their hand and say, I can take you to a pool. I can take you to a place of healing. I can take you to a place of refreshing. I can take you to that place where you receive all that God has spoken over you and promised you. Amen. And sometimes it's in the obedience of our steps. Hallelujah. For those of you who knew my dad or knew of my dad, it was in those, every moment in his life was an opportunity for him to tell somebody about Jesus. When he's waiting on heart surgery, they led people to the Lord. Sitting in the waiting rooms, waiting on heart surgery, and prayed over them. When there was always an opportunity to minister and share the gospel of Jesus with someone. And the day that we buried him, seven people came forward at a casket and gave their heart to Jesus. Let me tell you, God does not bring sickness on you. He does not bring death on you, but he won't waste it. He will take every piece and fiber of your life and make something good out of it. Hallelujah. We blame God for a whole lot of things. And how many know there's sometimes things just happen. But in the midst of that, in the waiting on the Lord is a renewing of our strength. There's healing that comes. There's process of his goodness that's being worked in us. How many can say you're further ahead now than you were when you started? Amen. Because there's a growth process. We're learning to lean on him. We're learning to hear his voice. We're learning to focus on the goodness of God. Hallelujah. No bucket, No problem. Amen? We spend our time telling all the reasons why God can't do it instead of all the reasons why he can, because he doesn't need your bucket. He needs your faith. He needs your obedience. He needs your ear, your reception to what he's doing. And so I want to talk a little bit today. You guys have already preached. We can just go sing a song and say amen. Let's go home and I'd be all right. But I love when life preaches. Amen. Yeah. I don't need to be behind the microphone, but I love when God is speaking through his people and we connect and we're like, yeah. Yeah, that causes something in me to be stirred. It encourages my faith, and it cheers me up. It helps me to know that God is in the working of our everyday life to bring about his purpose and our desires and his desire to take us to the next level. How many know there's next level in thinking? There's next level in our relationships, our callings, and all of those things. I want all that God has in store for me. I want the best of what he has. Amen. And sometimes that takes preparing my heart and my mind to be able to go to a higher place, higher level thinking, higher, you know, if you think, as the scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Don't tell me your think and your thought process is not important. Where your focus is, where your eyes are, is where your energy goes. Amen? Hallelujah. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I'm going to start thinking higher level. Amen? And so last week we talked about, I'm just going to share this real quick. We talked a little bit about that the Ethiopian eunuch was connected to Gaza. And in Gaza, does anybody remember what happened in Gaza that we talked about last week? What was it? Samson. Samson was taken there. The strong man was taken there. He was deceived by Delilah. Let's read it this morning, Judges 16, 21 through 30, and I'm talking a little bit about, I told you I'd go back there again this morning, so I am. I told you I'd give you a hint last week of where I was going to go next week, and then I told you everything, so I'm just going to say amen to what I told you last week, but the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, and they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemies, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport, that we may entertain ourselves by him and make fun of him. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were under the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two with his right hand and the other with his left, and Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all of his mouth, all of his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that was therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than he slew in his life. Gaza means strength or stronghold. Samson was taken to a place that was a stronghold. He was put in fetters, chains. They gouged out his eyes. They shaved his head. And he was grinding corn for the enemy. So if you can imagine the strong man, Samson, around and around, day after day, tied to chains and grinding corn for the enemy. That was Samson. And they had shaved his head, and the scripture said that Delilah tricked him and said, if you would just tell us where your great strength lies. And he says, oh, if you bind me with new cords, that would be it. And then she would say, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he would break those cords and jump up, and the Philistines would flee. And she said, you mocked me, Samson. He said, oh, if you do this, if you tie me up with chains, that, you know, then my strength will be. She does this over and over again. There's something at some point when the voice of Delilah is trying to drain you of your strength that you catch on a little quicker than that and say, this is a setup. But how many know the scripture says, finally he tells her, he said, well, if my hair is shaven, my strength will be gone. I mean, that hair, it wasn't necessarily the hair, it was the God-given anointing. That God said his hair would never be shaved and his strength would be in that. And so you know the story. They shave his head and he becomes as any other man. Amen. I want to tell you today, you are not as any other man or woman. You are a born again, spirit-filled, chosen child of God that has authority and power. And so they put him in the prison place and he is grinding corn for the enemy. However, his hair began to grow again. Hallelujah. How many ever, don't raise your hand to this one, but how many of you found yourself in a place where you feel like you were going around in circles and not getting anywhere, and felt like you was more profitable for the enemy than you were for yourself, and you found yourself in a place that you were sick and tired of getting sick and tired, but all of a sudden, his hair begins to grow again. His strength begins to be renewed. And he begins to realize who he is. Can I tell you today, the enemy of next level thinking is loss of vision, loss of strength, and hanging out in the enemy's camp. And that enemy sometimes can be anger. That enemy sometimes can be doubt. That enemy sometimes can be, you know, regret and rejection. But when he began to realize who he was, and he began to realize, I was born for more than this. And he began, and what they wanted to do was make a spectacle of him. He said, take me to the pillars of this house, because I remember who I am and my strength is being renewed. You know, when I thought about this, I don't know what all Goliath's thought pattern in that place was, except that Delilah is a wicked city woman. Amen. How did I get here? What is holding me here? And what do I need to go do to get from where I am to where I need to be? Gaza is a stronghold. How many know there are a lot of things in your life that can be a stronghold to you? One of them I want to talk about today, and this is the word that I felt like the Lord dropped in my heart as I left actually last Sunday. But before I say that, how many know God was declaring the gospel to the enemy's camp when Philip connects himself to the Ethiopian eunuch? His response to Philip is, what hinders me from being baptized? What hinders us from going to that next level in our relationship? Amen? It's the loss of vision. It's the loss of strength. It's what we lend our ear to. It's who we tell our, what secrets we allow in our ear, and those that, how many know you can let things pass through your ears and not let them take root in your mind? My mom said you can let a bird fly over your head, but you don't let it have to build a nest in your hair. You ever hear that one? Yeah. Over. Through. On. Amen? What is it that consumes your strength? Where does your great strength lie? Distractions. I mean, Delilah was a distraction. Sometimes distractions aren't even bad things. They're just distractions. Yeah. Right? The things we let fill our time that's not profitable to us. You quoted the scripture earlier. It was my grandmother Ethel's favorite scripture. I remember her singing the song, "Be still and know that I am God." I mean, no, it is hard to be still and wait on the Lord and not get distracted. Am I in the house by myself this morning? You know, I start out good. And then my head sees the dishes in the sink and the list on the bar, and I'm distracted, and I bring myself back in, and then the phone rings, and then my phone goes off, and then somebody needs something. And how many know before long I have been distracted from my original intent? And none of those things are bad things. They're all true. But how hard is it sometimes to keep our mind focused on Him and what He wants to say to us today? Hallelujah. And so one of the things that I want to talk about today, and it's the word the Lord spoke to me as I left last Sunday, is the word regret. Regret. The definition for regret is to feel sad, repentant, or disappointed over something that has happened or been done, especially a loss or missed opportunity. Is that what you thought the definition of regret was? Let me read it again. To feel sad, repentant, or disappointed over something that has happened or been done, especially a loss or missed opportunity. The biggest threat to your future can often be the lie of your past. Do you believe that? Living in regret. You cannot effectively move forward by looking back. That's why the windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror. You cannot drive at the speed you need to by looking backwards. By living in the past, if only, what if, I wish I had. All of those stories keep us tied to something that sometimes can rob us of where we are now and where we want to go. Amen? Man, if I'd have just done this, but you didn't. And sometimes you have to let the past behind you and move on from where you are. They said it to Pumbaa like this, you got to put your behind in your past. Anybody watch Lion King? It's prophetic. If you watch Lion King, we can preach all day on Lion King. How many know you sometimes have to let the past be in the past? And we can live in the regret of what we wish would be or wish we could happen. How many know Samson could have lived in the regret of his choices, or he began to change the circumstances. He could begin to change the culture. He could begin to change where he was and become victorious even in the end of what seemed like it was meant for his destruction. Amen. The pain of discipline versus the pain of regret. Discipline. Ooh, that's not a good word, is it? We think about discipline. The pain of regret. If I'd had discipline, I wouldn't have ate that coconut cream pie. But now I regret it. How many know that's a minor thing? But to get where you want to go, I mean, there's choices that have to be made. If you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always got. Aren't you thankful that the God is your strength? Even the scripture says, when I am weak, he is strong. I'm so thankful for the strength of God in my life. Hallelujah. We think about regret. We think about what's behind us, what could have changed, what would have changed, if onlys, and all of those kind of things. But there's no rewind on life. There's no pause, and there's no rewind. Quite often, it feels more like fast forward. What is the most popular statement you have seen or heard on Facebook this week particular? If you're on Facebook. What is it? Time going quickly. Oh my goodness, my babies. This is a picture from last year, first day of school. This is a picture from this year, first day of school. Or this was kindergarten, and now my baby is in college or high school. Or where did time go? Right? There's no pause. There's no rewind. You don't get do-overs a lot of time, but you pick up from where you are and you move on with the stepping stones that God has given you, because I promise you, if you will let God take the broken pieces of your life and your past, he will build something far beyond, more beautiful than anything you could ever imagine, because he specializes in restoring the broken and healing the hurt and raising up the weak, because he's not the God of a second chance. That's wrong. He's the God of another chance. And he's a God of another chance and another chance. We say, well, God gave me a second chance. Yes, he did. And he's given me a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance. And sometimes I'm out on the boat in the night saying, one more time, God, I'm going to give it my best shot. And it's about that moment when I let down the net and God takes all of my strength and effort and he begins to fill up the net that was empty. And he begins to draw in. And he begins to bring bounty to our lives. And then he said, it's not even about the bounty. It's about your obedience. Now, if you'll follow me, I'm going to show you how to be a fisher of men. And so God will take the seasons of your life. And I promise you that he will make beautiful things out of the ashes, if you will trust him with the pieces of it. Joseph could have lived in regret. He could have lived in the disappointment of the past. He could have lived in the, was that definition? He could have felt sad. He could have been repentant or disappointed over things, or things that had been done, or loss, missed opportunities. Joseph could have lived there, right? And all these are pictures. Joseph's a picture of Jesus. He was sold out by his brother and the people who loved him the most, put in a pit, sold to Potiphar's house, ended up in prison, falsely accused. But he came to the throne because he had favor with God. But there's a part of the story of Joseph that I love, and it's the part that, you know, he was sold out. You know, he was Mrs. Potiphar falsely accused him. He ends up in the prison. His life has just been one big drama, right? Or so to seem. But he finds himself interpreting the dreams of kings. He finds himself speaking to kings and pharaohs. And he gets to the house of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh puts him second in command, second in charge. He was a jailbird. God puts him second in charge. But there comes a day when his brothers and his father and them come and they bow down before him, the great Joseph, leader of Egypt. And when they bow down, Joseph had every right to to have them thrown into prison. Had every right to be angry. Had every right to let them starve. Had every right, so it seemed, in his own flesh, to say, oh, you come beg from me now. But you know what he does? He cries. He weeps. I don't think he is weeping because he is saying, man, it's just been tough to this point. I don't think he's weeping because they're hungry. I don't think he's weeping because he's just trying to decide and fight his anger back and say, man, I could just annihilate them all right now. You know why he's weeping? Because God gave him a vision as a young boy. He said, Joseph, the sun, the moon, and the stars are going to bow down to you. You know what Joseph did wrong? Maybe the one thing he could regret or could have lived in? He shared his vision with people who were not on his team, that didn't have the same vision, that didn't have the same heart, that mocked the dream instead of said, you go ahead and dream, son. You go ahead and dream, boy. But he shared his dream with people who were not dreamers. He shared his dream with people who didn't buy into his dream. And because of that, they sold him. But there would be a day that he stood in second command to Pharaoh and looked out over that throne and saw the sun and the moon and the stars bowed down before him. You know why he weeps? The scripture says he turns aside and he weeps. And then he comes back. Because the actions of his brother did not determine who Joseph was. His dreams brought him to where he was. And although there were times that he thought, this is never going to happen, he turns around and he weeps. And I believe it's because of the faithfulness of God that said, I dreamed a dream. And I thought my dream was gone. And I thought that there was no way that it ever could come to pass. But God. Some of you guys have hopes and dreams in here today. And visions and things that you desire. And God wants to take you to a high place. He wants to take you to a place of authority. He wants to do those things in your life. But we can either choose to live in the regret of the past. Joseph had every right to be angry. But he had chose to be thankful. Said, you know what? That right there, that was my dream. God has been faithful. Because he will put the solitary in a place that he will cause him to be a ruler or a savior over even those who denied him and betrayed him. Right? And he begins to prophesy even to his brothers and said, God will lead you out of this place. There'll come a day that there'll be bondage in this place, but God's going to lead you out of Egypt, and he's going to take you to the promised land. And when he does, don't you leave my bones in Egypt. See, here, Moses was not an Egyptian. Joseph was not an Egyptian, but God raised up deliverers even in the camp of an enemy that was able to lead his people out of bondage. You might have to reside in what seems like Egypt for a little bit, but if you're there, you need to know God has raised you up to be a deliverer, to lead you out of a place. And when he does, don't you leave my bones back there. What are they saying? The bones of everything that I have done thus far has brought you to this place. And when God brings you to the next place, I'm going to be there with you. I tell you this morning, we carry the bones of mamas and papas and dads and moms and nanas and grannies and grandpas and people who have gone before us, Sunday school teachers and pastors and mentors, that we still carry the bones of them with us because they have been a type of a savior to us. And from there, we will see God do the goodness that he has promised. Live in regret or look for the goodness of God even in the midst of that. Real quick, I'll just share my other scripture for today. Go home and read it. Philippians 3, 4 through 6. Forgetting those things which are behind. My mom used to say, I don't have a bad memory. I got a good forgetter. Right? I mean, no, some of y'all need a good forgetter. Forgetting those things which are behind. David found himself in a circumstance where he didn't need to be. And he made some mistakes. And he could have chose to live in those mistakes. But how many know the calling and the anointing of, over David as a boy never changed? It never changed. Jesus, thou son of David. Amen. But when God began to transition some things for him, the scripture says, and he got up and he washed his face and he went out. There's times in our life where we've got to leave behind what is behind. Get up, wash your face, and move on in all that God has called you to do and called you to be. We use statements like, you always, you never, I mean, those aren't true. Maybe 90% of the time, you always, but I mean, there's power in our words. And once they are spoken, you don't get them back. Seasoned in love. Amen. If you want next level, you got to be able to trust God for next level. Amen. Go ahead and stand with me this morning. I believe there's next level for Word of Deliverance. I believe there's next level for your house. I believe there's next level for your marriages, your families, for all of those things, because I believe God's favor rests upon us and his goodness is running after us this morning. Hallelujah. I know that because I've seen the favor of God. Someone told me one time, he said, make the decision and then don't look back. Whatever it is, make it and don't look back. Trust God to take you, because the scripture tells us the steps, say it with me, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Your steps. Do we have any righteous people in here this morning? Come on, you need to all raise your hand. He put you in right standing. He has made you the righteousness of God. That means that your steps are ordered of the Lord. Hallelujah. That your steps are ordered of the Lord. I regret not being able to turn this piano on. Not sure what I'm doing here. Do I just need volume? Maybe I just need volume. Look at that. I regret that my worship leader is homesick today. Crystal had to leave out. I just want you to take a moment and pause in his presence this morning. Let's just linger. And let's just believe God that he heals the broken. He heals all those places of our life. we surrender to him. Amen.